This call is being recorded.
Father Jesus and HS, I'll give you their love and I give you my peace. Let's start with prayer. Kind Father, we come before you and we want to stop for a moment with the lives that we have, and we want to sit at your feet and hear. For us, we had the opportunity to sit at the feet of our chief apostle this morning and the apostles. So we pray, Father, now that you will continue to come and join us through this evening hour. You have placed many things into our hearts. You have spoken to us. You've given us direction. You are going to give us a message. We pray, Father, that our hearts are open, that we are able to absorb everything that you're willing to teach us, that, Father, we can fulfill the tasks that you give us, that we can make you happy. There are concerns that rest on all the hearts that are on the call. We pray, Father, that you will please give strength to bear them, to put them off to the side, that they do not take away from any of this time that we share here, because these moments are precious, and we only get an hour a month with you in this kind of a situation. We pray for peace to cover our hearts. We pray for strength to bear our shortcomings and everything. We pray now for your blessing over all of us. Always, Father, according to what we ask, in your name we pray. Please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Father said, my very dear children, yes, I am addressing you this way today. We are always so formal. Today, I wish to be informal. I would like to have a heart-to-heart. No, I am not reprimanding anyone. Take a breath. I have put all of you through many tests. I have brought all of your faith. I am proud of all of you. Your tasks are not an easy one, and you stay the course. By the way, I added one more task to the three I have already given you. Tryland will share it with you later. Tryland will tell you that the underlying theme for the team this year will be stay active. He will define that for you later as well. You think at times, announced. Will he ever be announced? Yes, he will be. Look within your own congregations. The numbers are dwindling. Faith is waning. The people are leaving. I told you last month that things will get worse before they get better. This is the guardian's time to prepare and learn. I have been schooling you for years. Now we will, in your words, hunker down and focus. I have been giving many of you experiences of faith, which some of you will share tonight with the team. I ask that all of you open up to me. It is through these individual experiences that I will teach the team. That you let Tryland know when you do have an experience. I thought I would broaden the scope of your training. In the past, it has been to protect and heal. I told you last year that so. I will now gear the future meetings to encompass teaching. You are also all fine Rhodes Scholars in your own right. All of you can speak to certain gifts and attributes, can you not? None of you have ever had the same test or experience. Together, you all form the core, the foundation of this team that Tryland and I will now build upon. You will talk about the team retreat this evening that you will have in the summer. It will encompass fellowship, meditation workshop, instruction, Sunday service, and yes, food. I know you all want the last one. It is my wish that through this weekend retreat, I can bind your hearts closer together. Please come. Yes, this includes the spouses and families. Also, Fred and Kathy, Diane and Jamie Allen, too. Everyone needs to be there. Please, I have much I wish to share with all of you. There will be a moment when all of you are together. Jesus, HS, and I will come. I will share with you my love. Did I pique your interests? Many of you have not experienced moments where the three of us and Tryland sit in your living room. Then the three of us take turns talking to you, and Tryland said, he cannot fake the energy that fills the room and the heart. Tryland know of the things we speak of before that moment. You should ask Fred and Kathy and the Horns and Waters what it is like. Are you making your plans now? Only when we spend time together can I strengthen and prepare your hearts for the future as guardians. I have set this time aside just for you. Please make use of it and know that no one else has this opportunity. You should never take us for granted. I cherish these moments. You should know that. I do not let other children of mine come this close to me. they certainly do not have the commission that you have. Therefore, I give all of you an extra portion. My love for you is great. It will never change. You have done things in the past that have nearly broken you. You came to me and asked me for forgiveness, and I remember those circumstances no more. Now you need to remember them no more as well. I have a favorite saying. Perhaps you've heard it. Let go and let me. Well, I changed the end of it. Yes, I can see your smiles. It warms my heart when all are happy and full of joy. When a few of you get together for a day or a weekend and share your faith and laughter, this is one of my greatest joys. Please continue to share in those moments. I love and support all of you. Now try to be good. Your father is very pleased with you. Does anybody have any questions? Atmos has taken on the responsibility of continuing the religious instruction part of our meeting. I asked him to keep it to 5 minutes. He has put together a lot of information, so we discussed that what we're going to do is he's going to give you the highlights of what he's found, no more than 5 minutes, and then he's going to give it to Fred. He'll send it to Fred, the document. Fred can post it on the team website. There's a lot of information that's there. I would encourage all of you to read through it, and then if you want to go out on your own and research a little more and find more information, you can always add it to the document and then let all of us know, because I want this to not just be something that Atmos does on his own. We all need to take an interest in doing all of these things. So tonight, Atmos is going to discuss Catholicism. So Atmos, you're up.
Alrighty. Good evening, everybody. So just very high level beliefs and some other things here I'll run through real quick. Some of the high level beliefs, there's two great commandments that contain the whole law of God inside the Catholic Church. Those two commandments are, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind and with your whole strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And to love God, our neighbor, and ourselves, we must keep the commandments of God and of the Church and perform the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. So, of course, they believe in the Ten Commandments, as we do. They also have the chief commandments or laws of the Church. And those are to assist at Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation, to fast and abstain on the days of appointed, to confess our sins at least once a year, to receive Holy Communion during the Easter time, to contribute to the support of the Church, and to observe the laws of the Church concerning marriage. They have some pretty specific processes, as most churches do, for becoming Catholic. The first way is being born and baptized into the faith, of course. There's also a way of the unbaptized. They must go through classes that provide them with a thorough background in Christian teaching, and then after classes, they make a decision whether they want to join the Church or not. And they're given some time to do that. Preparation for Christians. Those who have already been validly baptized can become part of the Church, but that process differs from that of the unbaptized. They need only instruction in Catholic tradition and degree of probation within the Catholic community. So they have instruction classes that they have to go through, and then they have, I think it's a 90-day period that they have to sit through. It might even be longer than that, to truly show that they want to become part of the Church and think that it's a fit for them as well. Sacraments and celebrations of sacraments. They believe in baptism, the Eucharist. They believe in confirmation, penance, extreme unction. And it's always tough for me to say that one. Extreme unction or anointing of the sick. This one, I felt like I should probably call this one out because it's a little different than what we believe would actually have this written down inside their faith. Extreme unction is a true sacrament instituted by Christ and proclaimed by St. James. It is administered by anointing with blessed oil accompanied by prayer. Only a priest can validly administer this. And it can be received by any baptized person who has reached the age of reason. There's more information in there if you'd like to learn more about that specific piece. The next sacrament is Holy Orders. Order is a true sacrament instituted by Christ, who ordained the apostles at the Last Supper. Only a bishop can validly ordain. The effect of this sacrament of order is to impart the Holy Spirit and impress an indelible character, which permanently distinguishes those in orders from the laity. The next one is matrimony. Marriage is willed by God and was raised to a sacrament by Christ. The purpose of marriage is the increase of the people of God and mutual help for the partners in loyalty and love. Only monogamy is valid. A new marriage is allowed after the death of one party. Marriage is indissoluble, even in cases of adultery. And that is very, very, very high level, the beliefs and sacraments of the church, or the Catholic Church, rather. Sorry. Any questions?
Anyone? No? Okay.
I have a question. So do they consider themselves Christians, or do they really distinguish the difference?
No, they consider themselves Christians. I have not come across any place where they called themselves out as Catholics and not Christians. And this is all this information is coming from two different websites that are sanctioned by the church. So I kind of had to take it as it was, but I don't see where they're separating themselves.
And I only ask that question because I've heard it said before that Christians and Catholics.
Oh,
like there is a difference.
Maybe they do believe that then. But again, I didn't see anywhere where it called that out specifically.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Is that everything, Atmos?
Yep, that's everything. Again, there's a ton more there. There's some links to the websites. So I'll hand things over to Fred when we're done here. And then anybody that wants more info, it'll be out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. So Father gave us one more task on top of the other three. The fourth one is to bring everyone who wishes closer to the Trinity. Basically, we would do that through teaching them meditation. We would teach them through the second class to have a relationship with Jesus, as we've discussed in the past. Does anybody have any questions about that? So now we have four. We actually have five, because the fifth one is we are supposed to love mankind as Father does. But he said, let's just focus on these four right now. Okay? In Father's message, he spoke of staying active. We actually discussed this in December's meeting before we closed out the year. Actually, November's meeting, I should say. To reiterate, basically staying active is not just doing our dailies, but it's also meditating every week. It's now our four tasks. It's being like Jesus. It's talking about our faith. It's counseling others, giving healings, supporting the congregations that we all attend in, spending time with Father, Jesus, and HS, spending time with your team, your healing team, and your archangels. It's also being cognizant of your own team by vetting it. It's also speaking to one another. When one of us is down or has an issue, we should be able to feel free to contact any one of us at any time to build each other up or to share our personal or spiritual concerns with a teammate. I have been proofreading my own book, and I sent an email to the team back on October 7th, 2011. This was before we actually started having meetings. One second. I found it interesting, so I felt that I would like to share that with you. So this is the email I sent back in 2011. I spoke with my father yesterday. He asked me to extend to all of you his special love. Jesus gives you his peace, and HS sends you comfort. He also asked me to send you an email. He said the team is in flux right now, which means some are meditating and some are giving healings, and some aren't doing much. It is important that we all stay active. Please don't let this world lull you into a false sense of security and that nothing is really happening. Much is happening. 2 weeks ago, Tuesday, September 20th, I bound Satan for 6 months in heaven, a very long story. Just because he is bound doesn't mean his forces will let up. They are attacking us even more. We are now on the offense. I have instructed Michael and Lexis that as of that Tuesday, we will continue to attack every city on every continent until all demons have been destroyed, and we will now liberate 200 realms a day. I'm asking all of you to stay active. Please continue to meditate. Have your team give you a healing, and when someone needs our help, give them a healing. Always remember that you are not alone, and I am always here to help you. If you feel you need a healing, please let me know, and I would be more than happy to give one to you over the phone. Please stay alert. If you start to get depressed, sad, or feel as if you are being crushed by this world, then please contact me, and I will talk, and I will help you. I love all of you very much, and I thank my Father for all of you. Love, Subplanter. Even then, we're talking, 8 years ago? My dear friends, it is pretty much the same thing that we're going through now, and that's why I thought I would share that with you. Does anybody have any comments?
Well, to me, it feels the same, but it feels a little different to where we're more focused. When we know exactly what we have to do. Back then, I remember just floundering around trying to figure out what we had to do.
That's correct. A lot more instruction. Go ahead.
At that point in time, who is the team?
Who is the team? That's a great question. It was the original seven, which now there's only two left. I would have to go back through my notes, and I can email that information to everybody.
Well, and it's not necessary. I need to know all what was on the team, plus you. So that's it, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't think we need that. We don't need to know everybody that was on the team. I meant who is still from there. So thank you.
Right. Anybody else? All right. Then, on September 9th, 2016, Father said this. This past Monday, Triland gave Starlight a healing, wherein the three of us attended. Jesus shared with the two of them that they and you are pushing a cart filled with coal up a very steep mountainside. Each piece of coal represents an unfinished soul. In time, those lumps of coal will be formed into perfect diamonds that I will adorn with my kingdom. This again is part of your task, the Bride of Christ. I know that it is very difficult for you to accept and love mankind the way that they currently are. I am not asking you to do something that is impossible. It is through love that you too will learn to love all of them, to not judge them, to see them as I see them. They are all broken, lost, and misled souls. All of you are the compasses that will bring them back into the light. You will restore all of them into the truth that you will show them how they can reach the three of us. See, more has been revealed to you today about your future tasks. And then I found this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 3, 11-13. It's the NIV version. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of his holy ones. I brought all this out, my dear friends, because sometimes I think that we let life get in the way and we forget why we're really here. I hear people say to me, well, my purpose in life is this, is that, it's to be a faithful new apostolic, it's to do this. And we have discussed in many meetings in the past that our goal as a child of God is to serve and to become the bride of God. Through all of these difficult times that you and I have, that Father shapes us and molds us. Now, the advantage that we have is the amount of time that Father spends with us and the instructions that he gives us. But also, as he said in his message too, it's the time that we can personally spend with him too that is not open to everybody else on the planet. That is a very humbling thing for me as I sit and think about it, that you and I have the opportunity to go see Father, to talk to Jesus anytime we want, and to receive instruction. I know that sometimes through some really difficult times and some really difficult situations, and I know in the past when I have gotten to the end of my rope, I find myself throwing my hands up in the air and basically just looking at him and saying, what? Now what? What do you want from me? What am I supposed to learn? I'm not getting this. What? To which the response that I usually get from him is dead silence, which is incredibly frustrating. I'm sure you've experienced that too. But I'll tell you why that is. It's because you and I have to find the answer as to why Father continues to put us through this. Starlight and I have been talking through the weekend of some of the difficult times we've gone through. And where we think that maybe we're coming out the other end of it, it kind of folds in back on top of us and we feel like we're supported. And we discuss that there's something that we're supposed to learn. And sometimes we get so caught up in the minutia, or we're so upset or aggravated that we can't think straight. If we come to Father and we just ask him to help us, not ask him to give you the answer, because you're just wasting your time, I'll tell you that. But that's why you and I need to petition more. We need to spend more time with him. He's trying to build up in us a generation of sorts that down the road, when all the, excuse my French, crap starts hitting the fan and knocking it over, that you and I have the ability to see past the chaos, to pinpoint what the issue is, and to give wise instruction to those people around us that are falling apart. I was taken aback a little bit as I read this little part about each one of these souls representing an unfinished. I'll be honest, I don't always look at mankind as a precious little diamond that Father's. I look at them as a lump of something else, and it's not a diamond. You and I have been given a responsibility that puts us aside from everybody else. And I'm not going to say it puts us higher than anybody else, but I'll ask this question. Who else has Father picked to take care of these tasks? He picked us. Out of billions of people, out of different time periods, he has invested so much time into us. And even today, I don't want this to come across wrong, but I was a little upset when I heard the chief apostle to the apostle if maybe the church took up too much of his time. That literally burned my hash. The reason being, the whole reason why we're all here is to serve. And he knew full well that taking on that responsibility would be time consuming, just as you and I know that being a guardian is time consuming. It seems now in society that everybody wants everything to be easy and it should all be a convenience. If we are not willing to sacrifice ourselves, and we're not willing to fight to overcome ourselves, which brings me to my next question, are we all still focusing on two shortcomings every week and working on those two shortcomings? I don't want anyone to forget about that, because every day for us is a learning opportunity, not just about who's around us, but about us and how we react and how we are able to maintain our calm when other people around us affect our lives. And I know it's not easy. It's not. because there's things that are completely out of our control because of what these people do. But Father, to rise above that moment and help those people understand, but also to become stronger in ourselves, that we're confident that He is always there for us. There's much that you and I need to pay attention to. I know that sometimes I'll get texts from certain people telling me that they're under attack, they're having a very difficult time with something. Can I please step in and help? I'm going to be honest with you. Usually when people contact me about themselves being attacked, I'm also being attacked. Or my wife and I are going through some difficult times too. And we do not ask someone to step in and fight our battles for us. I don't want this to come across wrong, okay? I don't want to be a cold-hearted jerkweed right now. But have you ever thought that the reason why you're under attack is because Father is allowing it? It is not your lead angel's responsibility to keep an eye on your own home. Their job is to support you. Your job is to protect your own home. You have more abilities than they do to ward off evil, to fight it, to see it. So it's your responsibility to look around your own home, or actually feel it, to protect it. You're supposed to clear it first. And then after you secure it, then your lead angel will actually stand watch for you. Does that make sense to everybody? I don't know if I've ever been that to the point with everything that's going on. Any questions at that point?
I think that makes perfect sense.
Okay. I'll also say this. If you are continually going through the same test, or you're constantly being attacked, then you need to probably stand and fight. You need to understand that anything that happens to any of us is a schooling from Father. It is what He's trying to teach you and I. It is what He's trying to help you and I to become in His own eyes. And it is important that you and I do everything we can. Any questions?
Hey, Tryland, I would like to make a comment.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity after we cleaned the church and we sat to talk for 5 minutes, and an hour later we left. It was really nice. One of the things that came out, and I found myself saying it, and it didn't sink in until I said it. Because we were talking about protecting ourselves and being able to, and then we mentioned that Father is all-powerful. So is Jesus and HF and Triland. And we've been given that same power. And we can't just go willy-nilly do whatever we want, for sure, because Father is going to make sure we do right. But nothing in the universe is more powerful than we as guardians. And until I said that, I didn't quite realize it. And so when you talk about any time when we're being attacked, there's nothing that can conquer us. And I like the way you said it's not our lead angel or any of our angels' job to protect us. It's our job to protect ourselves, our family, and the angels are there to assist us.
Correct. They are a support team. Because I'll even take it a step farther. Don't you think that Father could assign angels to protect the Bride of Christ? He wouldn't even need us. But that's not what He did. He assigned us this responsibility for the specific reason that He wants human beings to protect human beings, so that He can prove that human beings, when they're given power and authority from Him, are stronger than anything evil that can be thrown at us. I've never thought about it that way. This is coming out right now, in this moment. You and I are unique. Not blowing smoke up your skirts. I'm just telling you, no other human being stands in the power and authority nor the responsibility that you and I stand in. And If you and I can't protect our homes and our families, why would Father want us to protect the bride? He gives us the time, though, to learn. And that's what's so nice. And over the years, if you were to go back and listen to all of the recordings, they kind of have the same underlying tone. Father's trying to prod us. He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to move us forward. This is the first meeting where he said he's now going to talk to us about how we teach. I don't know about you, but I got goose pimples. I think to myself, and I'm not blowing my own horn, I'm halfway decent when it comes to teaching. But if Father's going to teach you and I how to teach even better, hallelujah, sweet nectar, awesome, because we're all trying to do what we can to help Father so that we can complete this task and all go home. Anybody else have any other comments? I'll just call on the choir now. Everybody's so serious today.
We're enthralled.
You what?
We are enthralled.
Ah, okay. All right. Q has had a couple experiences. He'll share his, and then Atmos also had an experience, and I asked him if he would share. So, Q, please.
Okay, thank you. So, this time of year is a really hard time in my business because not a lot of houses are being sold. And a lot of times when that is the case, then the work isn't really there. But Father is providing, and there's no doubt, and he has, and everything is fine. But we still go through the difficult times where the unknown is out there and nobody's calling. And I have a wife who is perceptive and loving and caring and kind and hits me right between the eyes because I'll start making a comment and her first response is, so you reached around Father and you took it back. In other words, I gave it to him. I'm going to trust him. And now I'm talking about it again. You know, in other words, what's wrong with you? So of course we do that. And then it wakes me up for a second and I do better. Well, throughout this, well, I hit kind of a wall. She said that. I said, yep, you're right. He has it. And the next day I got a call and a job opportunity. So it was nice. Then I started thinking, why do I let that happen? And I sat and was talking to Father, and he reminded me who I am and my overarching gift. It's hope. And the way that he did it, in a couple ways. He first showed me a tunnel and he said, you see the light at the end? And I said, no. And he said, oh, he didn't say, and he said, okay, now do you see the light at the end of the tunnel? Yes. Well, you see it now, but if you don't see it, you need hope. You see it, you don't need hope. You're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel in most cases because he's got us. He's got it. And we don't know everything, but we have to have hope. And then, you know, I realized that Gabriel is the manager of hope. And I've had experiences before when James comes to the rescue, he's the apostle of hope, and it's beautiful. So now, with all of that being said, after we had our discussion that Friday night, Trilan said, hey, Father says you need to come and see him. And right away, I think, oh, yeah, that's right. Because I do see him every single day when I connect my crown chakra to his chair. But I'm always saying, well, I come back later. I've got to go pull cosmic energy in, right? That's our next step after we do that. And so I never quite get back. So then I took that to heart and I wanted to do it this day. Didn't happen. Wanted to do it this day. Didn't happen. The next day, I got up early in the morning and I was tired. And I sat, grounded myself, and I thought, I really need to go see Father, but I'm tired. And I said, stop. Go see Father. So I did. And we went for a walk around the back of my house. And the way that it is there, it's like a wheat field. The wheat field is yellow, mine is green and it's tall grass and it just kind of goes with the wind, and we walk through the grass. And I was tired, physically, I was tired. And I just felt so tired sitting there, you know, in my natural self on the couch. But we were walking and he just reached down and picked me up and he cradled me and just carried me. And I didn't feel tired anymore. It was nice. So we walked for a while and we didn't really talk. We just spent time together. And then we walked to the front of my house, and the way that the center of my mind and my house is, there's a cliff there. And there are steps going down to the beach, and there's a lagoon coming in and a peninsula that goes out with a waterfall. So we walked up to the edge of the cliff and he threw me off. And so you can imagine what happens when that first happens. You feel that fear. But as soon as he threw me, I stopped in midair. And he held his hands out and said, "See, even when I don't have you, I have you." And I just thought, yeah, I can't think of a better way to get it through this thick skull that he's got it. And when I give it to him, I have to leave it. And that was absolutely beautiful.
In that same vein, Q, if you don't mind, I'm going to throw you under the bus for a second. When we were having that conversation about Q taking things back and giving them to Father, Father said, "Do you realize that when you give me something and you take it back, it's like a rubber band stretching, and one of these times I'm going to let go of it and you're going to get smacked?"
That's right.
So when you and I give Father something, brothers and sisters, we need to just let him have it and let him hold on to it. He will take care of it. He will. Go ahead.
Oh, what else were we? Oh, yes. The experience that I had. I did some work for a gentleman who lives on Lake Makatawa in a huge mansion. And his wife had a stroke 11 months ago or something like that. And she wasn't doing real well. Janet Heidema started working for them, cooking meals for them and that. But I did some work for him in the house that he owns next door. His wife, Ginger, passed away a few weeks ago. And so, of course, our first thought was, yes, I want to go to that funeral. So we did. And Janet and Dean Heidema were there, myself, and a bunch of other people that had worked for them or know them, that we were kind of sitting together. And the minister who held the funeral service didn't open in prayer. He just said a few words, and then he read out of the Bible, many verses. Then he said some things about Ginger, and they were really nice. And so everything he did was nice. It was beautiful, okay? But it was empty. And we felt, and as that was happening, he made the comment, or the statement, a comment. He made the statement that Ginger isn't here anymore. She's in. And I'm sitting there praying and saying, she's not. She's right here. And, you know, and it was, I was praying for the soul who were there. And everybody in that service, I could feel their faith. And they had such strong belief in what they were hearing. But those words, again, were empty because it wasn't HS that was speaking those. And then a gentleman, actually he is the head of the seminary school at Hope College, Dr. Tim Brown. And he got up and from memorization read out of Revelation. He didn't read it. He just recited it with really good animation and all that, as if he was in a musical or a play, you know. But it was good, but it was still empty. And it was the time when the day of the Lord and the first resurrection and the 1,000-year kingdom of peace and all of that stuff. And he went and he talked about it, and it was interesting. But again, it was empty. And so I prayed really fervently for everybody there, especially Ginger. And as I was praying for her, and I was thinking to myself, Father, help them, because they don't, what they're being taught is wrong. She stood up. She was actually sitting with her family. She stood up, turned, and looked right at me. And what I saw in her eyes was concern, which actually made me happy, because we've heard before that if you're taught a certain way and you expect that and you get into eternity, I can only imagine how I would feel. I would feel angry if it was wrong. But she just showed concern. And so I spoke directly to her and said, just be open. Just believe. Believe what those who come to you tell you, because it's the truth. And then that was it, as far as that's concerned. I know that she was in the next service. It was a Saturday of her funeral, and I know that she was in the Lord's house that day. And I feel like there's still work for her to do, but, and I felt that she was there again today. And what the feeling that I got today is that there are others who were taught the same way, who've been helped in the past, and they helped her as well. And that's what it's about. That's all I have.
Do you want to talk about your hairstylist?
Oh, yeah. In fact, hey, Lauren, would you want to share that?
I mean, you talked to her more than I did. I went to bed early.
Oh, well, I'm not necessarily talking about that. But you can share after I introduce it. Hear how it went, if you don't. Okay, so.
Sorry, you cut out. What was it?
After I just give an introduction and how it all came about, if you can just share how it went, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I'm part of this group that we call the Under Network, because it's some people who are networking together, but then two of these people decided to do an Under Network with business owners and that. So I'm in this group, and so is she. And one evening we were sitting around a circle and we were introducing ourselves, and she was next to me. Spoke before me, and I hadn't met her before, and she said that I am a hairstylist for men. That's all I do, and I can help you to find your hairstyle, whatever. And so then when it came to me, I said, I'm looking for a hairstylist for men. Does anybody know someone? And they laughed, but I said, I'm serious, because I go to a lot of different places and I can never find anyone that's good, and she is good. So I've been going through her for about a year. Well, we've had good conversations, open conversations, but never really spiritual conversations until the past few months. And a few weeks ago, when I got my hair cut, she shared with me that she has a gift of, she called them dreams that come true. Since then, we've helped her to understand that they're visions that are she's being shown. But they were always good. And then she had a vision that she called dark. And she said she hated it. She didn't want any part of it. And she prayed that, she said, I don't want to have this. If that's what I'm going to see, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to know what it is. I don't want it. And fortunately for her, Father listened, and she hasn't had anymore. But then we started talking about it. I shared with her some experiences. She believed. And I left there, and I called Lauren right away and said, we have to have her, we need to sit with her. She needs an outlet. She needs someone to talk to about her gifts, her experiences, where she's not judged, because she tries to talk to people and everybody thinks she's crazy. And I said, you know, Lauren, what we talk about is crazy. She can join us. So we made work of it. The only opportunity that we had was last Friday. If we didn't do it then, we would have been into mid-March. So we made it happen. And go ahead, Lauren, tell them how it went.
Okay. So she came over. It was Derek, my dad, and Jerlene, and we just hung out. And we sat downstairs in the basement. We talked a lot about things. One of the, I guess, visions that she had was that her boyfriend at the time, she said this was about a year or more ago, I think, her boyfriend cheated on her with her sister. And she said she had the dream every night for 2 weeks straight. And she was just really confused and she was frustrated, and she jokingly brought it up to her boyfriend. And she's like, oh, I know this would never happen. And he got really defensive. So eventually she found out that it was true. And she was talking to us about it. She's like, I just don't understand why I was having this same dream for 2 weeks. And we kind of talked her through it and said, well, how would you have reacted if you had no idea? And during that time, because it happened every single night, you were coping with it and you were going through that before you actually had to go through it. So when the time came, you were already over it and you didn't have to waste any additional time going through that. And she said that she'd never thought of it that way. And there were a couple other instances that we talked about too, where we helped her to understand that you are going through this to learn something from it and to be better without actually having to go through it. So it was really cool to talk to her, and she was very open, and I think that she'll reach out to us more in the future.
And she even made the statement that, you know, this all has happened for a reason. I'm where I'm supposed to be. And we know that. We know how that works.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Atmos?
So, Charlene, which ones specifically do you want me to talk to? The one at work or the one with the men's group?
The men's group.
Okay. We've had a deacon in our congregation. His name is Zoe Mwendabai. I don't know if anybody's ever met him, but he's a great guy, really outspoken, started a men's group. So we meet every Monday at 7:30 at Peter Cook's office there in Portage. We go through this Tim Tebow thing. So I got an invite from Pete, and then Zoe talked to me, and he sent me an invite as well. And so I started going to him specifically because Father told me this would be a good way for me to start interjecting small things that I've learned. And it would just be a good experience for me to start learning how to do that. And so I've been sitting in these and listening and sharing as well. And it's been great. I've gotten to know the guys really well. But what's really happened is Father's allowed it to be an avenue for me to share things that I've learned in these team meetings with these gentlemen in these meetings. And for instance, when we were shared about the Ten Commandments and the new meanings of the Ten Commandments and how you can steal somebody's joy, and that's, you know, thou shalt not steal. Well, stealing somebody's joy is still stealing. And so when you stomp on somebody's feelings who's having a really good day, and you just take your crap out on them and kind of destroy their joy, you're stealing their joy from them. And I shared that with the group, and they were like, wow, that's just really profound and really wise. And I'm like, well, you know, hang out with a lot of people who are wiser than I am, and I learn these things from them. I'm just passing them along to you, you know. And then the second one that I think the guys really related to was we talked about people in general and how people in general are just a pain. We can't stand them sometimes. They do awful things, and it's hard to not lash out in our vehicles when we're driving down the road or whatever the case may be. And I told them, and I think it was Tranquility that shared this. I don't remember exactly. I think she said that it was, you know, when somebody does something to you, let's say they cut you off when you're going down the road, instead of calling them a blankety blank, start with this child of God, blankety blankety blank, and then think to yourself what you're truly doing. So think, if you can think this child of God before you start calling them names and whatnot, it tends to make you stop before you even start. So thinking of them as a child of God before you do anything else helps out. And everybody's like, wow, that's so profound. That's really amazing. I've never thought of that. I'm going to start using it. And so that's been another great thing that I've been able to share with them. So I'm starting to find small things here and there that I'm learning through meetings and through meditation coming out in this small group. And it's been pretty cool. I hope it continues. And I'm starting to learn kind of how to pass these things along from a non-standoffish way, like to not as, hey, here's what I know and you don't, but kind of like here's kind of how I've dealt with a situation that's like that, you know, previously. So hopefully I can pass these things along in a consistent manner, and I can continue to learn and pass those things along. And it's kind of started happening at work too. So it's been a lot of fun this year so far, kind of using these things and learning how to help people understand them better.
Thank you. All of these are examples of active. It's not just one thing or two things. We are to be teachers down the road. So when you and I have the opportunity to share something, we enjoy our midweek experience because we get to share little tidbits just like Atmos did. And that's why I asked that they could share these things. I know that we spoke a little before about how you and I get down and we kind of feel buried sometimes and we kind of feel lost and alone. Have you ever considered going and talking with your lead angel? These are archangels that Father created for you and I, and stop for a minute and look at the attributes, the characteristics, and the traits that these angels have. There's a reason why I paired them with you, because they meet and share in some of the same gifts that you have. There's no reason why you and I can't sit with them, get a hug from them, or even ask them, what do you think? They're there for to support us, as we heard, but I don't think that we take it to that step. We believe that they're just there to keep us safe. They're there to support us, to protect us from different things. But I have to tell you, these beings have been around since Father created them before time began. They're pretty smart. Now, I don't want their heads to get all swollen and, you know, puffed up, but they are there for you and I, and I don't think we utilize them enough. I know sometimes I take Michael for granted. I'll look at him as I'm driving to work, and he'll go, yes, sir, I am still here. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that, because sometimes I take you for granted. We need to appreciate the gifts that Father's given us as far as our gifts go, but also as far as the gifts he's handed to us that are encompassed in other things around us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I want to address briefly where Father made the comment last time that the services are going to get worse before they get better. For myself, I sit in a lot of church services, and sometimes I feel that we're not hearing anything new, that we've heard this before. We've discussed in the past that there's a lot of souls that come from eternity. By the way, Father decided to allow every single soul that came from eternity today to receive communion through the hand of our chief apostle this morning. He allowed that to happen. So all of eternity was actually at the chief apostle service with us, which is very overwhelming when you think about it. But it's important that you and I, when we come into the service, for me recently, what I've decided to do is I will try and find something for myself as I listen, but I also am now going to treat every service as though it was a guest service, because it is. It really is. Even if we can't see physically somebody that's been brought into the church by someone, eternity is always there. And they are the ones that are starving. And it might be hard for us to understand that none of these souls have ever even heard of Jesus or Father or grace or any of that stuff. And that's why sometimes the services seem, excuse my French, very milquetoast to us. Plus, with the teaching that you and I receive from Father in these gatherings that we have and the groups that we get together and spend weekends with, we're not going to hear the same things yet. But if you're paying attention, there are times where HS has peppered in things that Father has discussed with us, that we've discussed as teammates. Do not get soured by the idea that the services are going to get worse. He's just asking us to pay attention, to fight harder to get something for ourselves. Okay? Any questions on that? Okay. I wanted to talk briefly about that Father brought up. We sent out a questionnaire last year. Is that information? I haven't had a chance to get together with him yet, but we did narrow it down to a 3-month window. So I'm going to ask him to send me the information as far as what month was picked for out of everybody, the majority of what month would work the best. I'll send an email out to all of you. And if anybody could tell me then within that month what weekend would work best for them, then we can narrow it down and we can actually start making plans so that everybody can come. It's something brand new for all of us. And I can tell you too that in those times where the three of them have come into one of our friends' homes and they sit on the furniture, just like you and I do, and then the family's there, and then Father speaks to me and tells me what he wants them to hear, and I tell him what he's saying, and I have to tell you, it's a very emotional moment for all of us, because the things that Father talks about go right to the heart of the people he's addressing. It's overwhelming and amazing. Plus, we get to spend time together as a complete team, which we haven't had that opportunity ever since its inception. So we will take care of that. I'll send that information once I get it from Atmos. Preparatory service for the departed is February 24th. Service for the departed is March 3rd. It still breaks my heart that I don't hear it from the altars where I go around, where there's no pushing it. I know some of you brothers are trying to push that information, but it's important for you and I that we never forget. And especially in these next couple of weeks, Father's going to bring to light different things that you and I need to be aware of, groups, people, individuals. I could email out the list that we already have of the groups that we're aware of. I don't want us just focusing on those groups, but open ourselves up. And even too, Father said, open yourself up to him that he can give you a nice experience of faith as well, because I would like to hear from everybody if they have something they'd like to share, that because every opportunity is a learning opportunity. That's Father's favorite saying. Okay? Does anybody have any questions or any comments about anything?
Just a quick question. I know moving forward with the whole get-together thing this year, there's a lot to kind of be planned. I was wondering if you would be okay with kind of opening up to the team for volunteers to kind of help plan that event when we get to sure. that point.
Sure can. If anybody would like to be a part of that, please let me know.
Yeah, because I'm not the best planner in the world. And my wife is good at it, but it's going to probably take 2 or 3 people to kind of help put it all together.
Sure. And Father even invited Diane Allen, who is the master planner of events, which I've already spoken to her too. But if you are interested in helping out too, please let me know, because the more the merrier. It's going to be an incredible weekend. Now that I've set the bar so high, Father's going to have to step up and deliver, just so you know. Anybody else?
Yeah, I had a quick tidbit I'd like to share about the youth weekend in South Bend.
Oh, yes, please.
So on Friday night, when Q was over here, we talked a bit about Exodus 3, 4 through 12, about when Moses was called by Father to lead his people out of slavery. And during the youth weekend, in the evening, we had sort of like a mock small group for the kids. And we started as a group, and the main topic was hearing God's calling, which...
Figuring out what your calling is.
Right. Yeah, sorry. So then we split up into subgroups within that larger group. So each subgroup had about 3 kids in it. And the group that Lauren and I were heading up, our verse was Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 12, which was amazing. The stuff that Q talked about was stuff that I had never thought of before within that verse, and that came out with the kids within the small group. So what Q had taught me, we were then able to teach the kids and able to pass that along. Wonderful. And it was just an awesome experience.
Thanks, Dad.
That's what he gets paid for.
Thank HS. Awesome. See, that's what it's all about.
Go ahead.
Those experiences of faith are absolutely... You can't make that stuff up. That's what's so beautiful, and that's what's so nice mm-hmm. about that friend with Geraldine is her name. And she just accepted it. And the thing was, when so many things came up, they made sense to her, but then we would explain something to her that was a beautiful experience of faith that you can't make up. And it's beautiful.
Thank you. Our next team meeting is going to be March 17th. I believe I originally sent out an invitation for the 10th, but Starlight and I are going to be out of town that weekend, so I bumped it to the 17th. So we'll make sure that we're drinking green beer when we get on the phone call, okay? I also wanted to open up, I did last year, that if any of the spouses would like to pray at the end of the meeting, that if you would send me a text or an email, I'll add you to the list. I already know that Danielle has always been interested, so she's still on the list. And I'm going to let you pray first so that, you know, I don't take everything. And that'll be the new thing that we do, and then I'll pray last. So I asked Q if he would pray. So Q, if you'd please close the meeting for us.
Loving Father, we come to you again, and we are so happy and thankful that we have this opportunity. And dear Father, it is truly an opportunity that until this conference call, we may have taken for granted a bit. Because, dear Father, we didn't really completely understand that you don't do what you do with us, with everyone. And Father, that amazes us still. Let it be that we always are open and seeking and have the understanding that you want us to have. And that we not only give, that we don't give up our will, but we take our will and we form it to be what your will is. Let it be that you use us according to your will. And dear Father, you know the desires of our hearts, but the most important desire that we have is that we can do exactly what you want us to do. We want to be there on the day of the Lord, to be part of the bride. It's our responsibility now to be the protectors. Let it be that we understand that even more, and that you help us, and that you give us the strength that we need. It was beautiful that it was brought out that we don't necessarily come to you and say, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. But we simply say, help me through this. Because, Father, you know exactly what you're putting us through. And all you want us to do is ask for your help. And then you help us to get to where you want us to be. It's that simple. Bless each and every one on this call, all of our loved ones, family, relatives, brothers and sisters in faith, and your Father. It's been said so many times, part of our task are to love mankind. Dear Father, we ask that you bless all. Let your will be done always. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Father, we are thankful for these moments that you spend with us. You give us such insight. You give us understanding. And we appreciate the time that you open our hearts and show us things. I know for a fact that you are harder on us than you are on anyone else. We are not complaining, but it is also nice to know that you give us an extra portion to bear those times when we feel we're being crushed, and to also have the experience that you showed Q, that in those moments where we think that you don't have us, that you do have us. That brought a comfort to our hearts, that brings a peace to our soul, because there is nothing that can get us, Father, that can take us away from you, unless we decide. So see the hearts that have gathered here. We petition on their behalf, whether it be for physical situations, financial, for school, for work, for physical pain and suffering. You are the one who can provide everything that we need and always do. And let the amount that you give us be sufficient. We are not spoiled little brats that demand one thing from you. We appreciate everything that you have. We do not ever want to take it for granted, not one thing that you give us. Provide your blessing now in the evening. Bind our hearts together with peace. We walk into the world. We are your lights. We are your compasses, as you told us, to draw those that are lost back to you. And that is a huge responsibility. Provide peace in our hearts, Father, and joy, that when people look at us, they'll see that there's something different about us. And if we've forgotten something, then I know you're going to cover it for us. And know always, Father, that we love you and respect you. And according to what we ask, and in your name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Love you.
Thank you. Hey, Traylon,
yes.
Let you know something.
Okay.
Just an FYI, I don't know if it's your headset or your phone. Once in a great while, you were cutting out and then coming right back. So we lose a word or two during the meeting. So just an FYI for next time. We still got everything I think we needed to get, but it was kind of touch and go. That's why I never said anything during the meeting, because it seemed like it was very sporadic. So
that's okay. My wife did.
There you go.
So I got a call Sprint because I complained last month, and they said they were going to fix this area, but they haven't. So I will let them know. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right.
Love you guys.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.